Hey there. So we're doing something different this week. You're going to get two episodes this week, both a little shorter. The first one is about the streaming service news that we missed while we were gone, and the other one is going to be about gaming and stuff going on at Sony and everything around that. So hope you enjoy it, and please let us know what you think. Now let's get to the episode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Culture Vacuum Podcast, the podcast where we talk about things in the world of media, and that is the broadest sense of the term. I'm your host, Samuel Polley. With me, as always, is my co-host, Calvin.
Hey, Sam. It's good to hear you. It's good to see you again. Our listeners can't see you. I can. I don't know why I went down that road. Anyways, it's great to be back in on the podcast.
But, you know, some other things happened while we were gone. They launched a new streaming service, another one.
They did, yeah.
Also, it's the final one, apparently, they promised.
That's the last one. I'll never do another streaming service.
At least for now. It's the last one for now. It's called Paramount Plus, otherwise known as CBS All Access. It's now Paramount Plus.
Oh, that's how that connects. Okay.
I checked it out. Here's my verdict. It's another one of the you subscribe for a few months and then cancel services. It is not you got to keep it all the time services. Where I would say the keep it all the time ones are the Disney bundle, which gets you Hulu, Disney, and ESPN Plus for free, Netflix, HBO Max. So it's really five services, but you're paying the cost of three services, basically. So I would say those are the three that like you should probably have those all the time. There's going to be something new. Something worth watching all the time there.
I was actually gonna ask about that. So in terms of CBS All Access, from what I know about CBS and the types of shows that they put out, it's mostly like your kind of weekly, you don't really need to pay too much attention to like week by week what's happening in the story.
Yeah, so like CBS All Access was always weird because it was just, do you like CBS? No? Well, here's a Star Trek show. And that was... So you were either in the CBS audience, but you didn't like paying for cable and you didn't want to buy an antenna. So here's this service that will give you Blue Bloods
you don't like
the next day.
That's so specific. The Venn diagram is like so specific for that, but okay.
Yeah. So here's Blue Bloods the next day. Enjoy your cop propaganda. And then if you were a Star Trek nerd, you would sign up to watch Star Trek Discovery and hate yourself for 10 weeks.
Do you get...
And then you would cancel
it. Do you get the older Star Treks, or is it just Discovery?
I think they did have some of the older Star Treks, but not all of it, because some of those are on Netflix. Like, Next Gen is still on Netflix right now.
Because I was going to think, like, but I know if they were the home of Star Trek, I could see that being, like, a pull for people.
Yeah. So it just didn't work, but, like, they managed to get a good number of subscribers. Like, they got, I think, like, 30 million members before Paramount Plus happened.
Were there any of those conversions from CBS All Access?
No, yeah, this is before Paramount Plus. CBS All Access had, like, 30 million members. Okay. So they were going into it, like, a decent customer base, not enough to cover their costs for what they were spending on original content. But, you know, there was... it's a good subscriber base to start with. So Paramount Plus, when they switched it over, what I was shocked by was like it really hadn't changed that much, because I had checked out CBS All Access ages ago, and my dad and I were getting it so we could watch the Stand series. So Stephen King book.
Oh,
so we were paying for it as it rolled over into Paramount Plus, and I checked it out and. There was only one original series. Actually, no, there were two original series to start the service with. And then the real change was they basically did what HBO did for HBO Max, where they added a new coat of paint and added a ton of stuff to the back catalog.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Paramount Plus did. It was still CBS All Access, but with way more movies and TV shows that were like older.
They changed the logo in the top left corner.
Yep, new logo, new slightly new coat of paint, and then that was basically it. HBO Max, it literally was the same code base as HBO Now, but they colored it purple and added a ton of movies to it.
And I can tell, it still sucks on Roku.
HBO Max is slightly better now. The funniest thing about HBO Max when it launched was it was a purple coat of paint. When you went over to the sidebar to like browse through the sections, it was the same sidebar as HBO Now, and it was a different color and a different font from the entire app. And you, who allowed this?
It was like it was still that like blue kind of highlight and black background and stuff like that. That's great. That's fantastic. How did that happen? Wait a minute. That's like the most obvious feature to check. That's insane. It's kind of crazy.
So they've now changed the sidebar. They've added architected it so it can handle 4K. So like they have piecemealed to improve it as a service, but like the fact that they started from the HBO Now code base instead of building a new app from the ground up, which is what Disney did for Disney Plus, is kind of hysterical. But like, you know, whatever.
They do not want the CBS app was, no one does.
The CBS app was slightly better. Like, it was architected that it could deliver HDR, which is good, which is more than I can say for other services. Hulu. Hulu is a turducken of bad technology.
Well, I barely use it.
So it could do HDR. So, like, in terms of, like, tech and whatever, it's fine. But there weren't really, like, a lot of original shows to check out. And, like, so I stopped paying for it after I finished The Stand, which is a great show. But the new originals were a Real World Reunion show and SpongeBob Camp Corral.
Is that a TV? And is that last one a TV show?
Yeah, they're both shows.
Are they just doing away with the 2D SpongeBob then?
No, they're still doing 2D SpongeBob, but Camp Corral is a prequel show featuring SpongeBob as a little kid at summer
camp. We have already seen his past by this point. We don't need to. He's had so many flashbacks.
It's also very bad. They don't have, almost none of the actors do voices to be little kid versions of the SpongeBob characters.
It's different people?
It's still Tom Kenny doing SpongeBob. He is not changing his voice at all to be young SpongeBob. He sounds like adult SpongeBob.
Oh.
The only one doing a new voice is Sandy. Sandy's doing a voice, good, but like Patrick still sounds like Patrick. Squidward still sounds like Squidward. Like, come on, could you do the bare minimum?
So they have, I've seen a few things that they have on Paramount Plus. They have that SpongeBob stuff. They have the original SpongeBob too, I think.
Yeah, the original SpongeBob. They have a bunch of Nick stuff. So like, you know, if you miss your old Nick shows, you want to watch iCarly, go and watch iCarly.
I saw that. I saw like a commercial saying, "Do you miss iCarly?" And I was like, I haven't thought about iCarly in maybe a full decade.
Look, iCarly's great. But I don't want to binge iCarly. I am binging all the old DC animated shows on HBO Max.
Got through Batman, got through
Justice League, doing Superman now, and that'll be done.
I need to finish Young Justice. Yeah. I need to finish the show with the Metal Man and the other people. the other good guys. Anyways. I also saw that they had the Daily Show as well, which
They have Daily Show next day. They have a bunch of CBS stuff next day. Not South Park, though, because South Park got sold to HBO Max.
That was a good buy on HBO Max's part.
It's a lot of good stuff. If you're nostalgic for Nickelodeon stuff and it isn't on Netflix, Paramount Plus is a good thing to get. If you like CBS still, then, you know, you're probably going to keep paying. But I would not say it's a service you should absolutely get right now. However, they have a lot of really ambitious stuff lined up for the future. So Paramount Plus is probably something I will become a subscriber to in a year or so. Like right now, they started a new studio called Avatar Studios, which will only be making shows and movies for the Avatar universe.
Avatar meaning?
So, The Last Airbender.
Yes! I was so nervous, Sam. I was so nervous.
Avatar the Blue People movie is owned by
Disney.
Please
don't be James Cameron's Avatar.
So we're getting a new Avatar movie. That's already in production right now, and eventually they're going to make new shows.
And it's animated, yes?
Yeah, animated.
Gosh, I've been hurt so many times, Sam.
Yeah, so new animated movie, new shows are in the works at this new studio. It's being headed by the guys who created Avatar. Mm. But who knows when that's going to materialize. I think there's a lot of...
Animation takes a long time.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential. Like, I would love an Avatar, like, a serialized... Not, sorry, like a... an anthology Avatar show where, like, each episode focuses on a different Avatar.
Yes.
And because it's set in a different time period, you can do different experimental animation styles with it. Like, that would be
I could even see, like, a 2 or 3 part episode arc kind of over and over again. You get 3 different chapters of Avatar or something like that.
Yeah, 3 chapters focusing on one Avatar or something like that. You can invite different directors in, different animators, different, like, anime studios in Japan, maybe. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so much you can do in the Avatar universe.
The main timeline, they're the main characters 2 miles away.
Yeah. that Halo show they say is coming, they promise, they swear.
Who cares?
That moved
Who
over.
Wants, whatever. I'm sure they're, I know they're fans. I just offended a bunch of people.
People love Halo.
I know they love Halo. I don't know why, Sam. I'm sorry. I'm sure they love it.
Yeah, Halo's coming over. An iCarly reboot.
With the same people, or?
Everyone but Jeanette McCurdy, because she's done with acting.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to figure out who's asking for the... Who wants the reboot of iCarly?
People who are who made it the number one show on Netflix. Sure.
All right. Man, I don't know what people like.
Yeah. People love iCarly. Yeah, so the new iCarly shows, like, they are doing a lot of stuff that appeals to me. That I might check out. It's just not there yet, so I'm not going to pay $10 a month for 2 years just because...
And it's not going to be there for a while.
Yeah, so, you know, I say, you know, if you're interested in Paramount Plus, check it out. If you want to pay for it, just like all of them. But like I said, I think it is something you subscribe to when the show you want is on, and then you unsubscribe. It is not something that will provide you with consistent new stuff to watch that you care about for a very long time. We're like, and I would say, like, up until this year, Disney Plus was in that category too, where if you weren't a parent with small children who needed to put on Incredibles 2 for the 5th time that day, just to shut them up because you needed to work, mm-hmm. then there really wasn't much for you there on Disney Plus. But now, with their Marvel stuff, little check in there. Well, last we spoke, the Marvel stuff was not happening yet. It has now happened.
Yeah, it's completely blown up.
They just finished WandaVision, and it was dominating Twitter every single week.
It was. That's how I knew new episodes were coming out, is it would literally be trending every week consistently.
Yeah, and then this week they did they started Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Great first episode. Very excited to see where that goes. And then just as Falcon and Winter Soldier ends, Black Widow, they claim, will come to movie theaters.
We shall see.
Which is, it's still set for May. I think they might bump it back a week or two, but
we'll
see. Still,
you know what, that's why Joe Biden came out and said we gotta do this by May. We need to see Black Widow.
Gotta see Black Widow, everyone. Disney can't put it on Disney Plus. They'll lose too much money.
Exactly.
So won't someone think of the Disney executives? They have this movie that they want to make $1 billion with.
I'm trying to think, like, so if someone's going to be spending money, getting your Disney Plus, getting Netflix, presumably HBO Max, I would think those would be the biggest three in terms of being able to just pull consistent content to, like, watch with.
Yeah, and Hulu still gets a lot of good stuff as a service, as a technical service. It's not great, but
they've also been
in their library. Like,
they've been losing stuff, and a lot of times you have to pay for extra channels if you want to watch certain content on Hulu, I find.
Well, so that's, like, if you want Showtime or whatever, but, like, the actual Hulu stuff is there. Like, I think the Disney bundle with Hulu is a good value, because especially if you like sports, because it costs the same as just getting Disney Plus and Hulu. Mm-hmm. So they're really just giving you ESPN Plus for free. My issues with Hulu is more like technically, like, it still can't deliver 5.1 surround sound to the Apple TV.
That's a weird one.
And I don't know. Yeah. And I don't know why. And I reach out to them. I was like, it is not your supporter. We don't know. We're always working to improve. So, okay. Shut up.
You fucking hated that, didn't you?
Yeah. They still didn't do HDR. And that's because, like, Hulu was built to deliver, like, 720p streams to web browsers in the early 2010s.
With respect, because that's its origins, man. You gotta stick with what you know. Peace. I don't know.
And it's just, they've kept building on top of that, so their back end is just so ancient, where Disney Plus was built from the ground up and it can deliver 4K HDR, Dolby Atmos, whatever.
And it's probably gonna be able to support new formats more easily than something like Hulu.
Yeah, Hulu needs a complete overhaul of its back end, and they're just glacial with it, which is embarrassing because there's so much good stuff there, like all the FX stuff. They have so much their own original stuff. Like there's so much good stuff on Hulu, and there's so much good stuff coming to Hulu, mostly from FX, but whatever. That it just makes me sad that the app sucks so much.
I wonder if that's why I tend not to think about watching content on Hulu. I'm so used to content looking really good, even on like the YouTube app. On Netflix, it looks really good. On HBO Max, it looks really good. And then on Hulu,
getting to new stuff on Hulu is a nightmare. It's just not, it's not a good app. But not as bad as Amazon Prime. That's the worst app in the game by far.
Don't even get me started.
Trillion-dollar company. Fix your streaming
service.
All
that money goes to Jeff Bezos. Just straight into his pocket.
Jeff Bezos must be stopped. He murdered Barnes & Noble. That's the streaming services. Also, Disney Plus, they've hit 100 million subscribers now. I won't be shocked because they have such a consistent output of originals now. I will not be shocked if by the end of the year they are at 150, maybe 200.
Just like the free advertising they get from trending every week, I have to imagine is gonna, because like even when every new Marvel show is gonna be on Twitter for free without the need to pay for advertising, just because your fans are talking about it.
People moan about not having all the episodes dropped at once. But like the data's there. It's the best way to do anything, because The Witcher, Netflix drops all The Witcher, they get a week or two of being the most talked about show, and then it's gone. Where if they did it weekly, they would get 10 weeks of being the most talked about show. Same goes, but and like what happened was like when The Boys season 2 happened, they did The Boys weekly. So they did The Boys season 2, they did that weekly, and the first season was dropped all at once, and it got review bombed on Amazon with people, give me my show all at once, I want it now. But then, when The Boys season 2 was done,
the actual data
came out, and oh wow, more people watched The Boys season 2 than before, because it kept building hype every week, so people would go back, they would rewatch the episodes to catch up. And then they would be up to date. Like, that's the great thing about streaming, is like you don't have to worry about, I didn't DVR that show everyone's talking about, so I have no possible way now to catch up on it.
I'm also thinking, like, if you do just put out a show like The Witcher right away, I wonder if some people who might be super into it will sit down to binge it, get exhausted after like 3 or 4 episodes, and then it'll just get thrown down their kind of my list rabbit hole.
Yeah, the Netflix algorithm is, the way they define viewership is when they say a show has become their most watched show is they watched at least 2 minutes of it.
Oh my God.
At least, yeah, so that's how they know, that's how we know if it was an intentional watch. It's like, well, how many people finished a movie or show on your service?
Yeah, I'll agree. You know what? I'll agree. It was intentional, sure. I don't know if they enjoyed watching it or even wanted to watch what was on screen. Like, that's really silly to me. All right, I'm sure they have a reason.
Yeah, it's so they can lie to their investors, Calvin.
Dude, this
that's the reason.
Gotta love it.
It's like, say, look, everyone's watching The Witcher. Like, what if people hated? I liked The Witcher, but what if people hated it?
Isn't that what they did with Facebook too? They started saying like all the videos were getting all these views.
Yeah, like if the video even starts playing, they count it as a view, even if as you're scrolling by it. Oh, that's a view.
Man, money is so not real. This whole year has just been me realizing how unreal money is.
Yeah, so they're getting great word of mouth. They're owning social media. They're getting
great words in their mouth. They taste great, yummy.
They're getting weekly recaps on every single fandom or like pop culture website. Like people, it is a winning strategy. I would be shocked if Netflix doesn't make the final season of Stranger Things or the next season of The Witcher a weekly thing.
Just so you can have an event. With weekly stuff at some point, they had a show featuring, what's her face, the second person. There was Miley Cyrus and Hannah Montana, and then her, like, friend in that show had a show on Netflix, and it was weekly.
They've done some weekly stuff, but it's, like, it's because of the rights or whatever, and it backfired on, like, there was one, like, Canadian show that they licensed to be an original. You can't even find it anymore, but that was done weekly.
What do you mean you can't find it anymore? What happened?
The license ran out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so like they've done it before, but like they've never really committed to it, and they really should. Like The drop all at once model is good for maybe something like new, but for something you know where you're going to get a huge audience for, get a ton of eyeballs on it, it just makes sense to be like, hey, we know people are waiting for The Witcher. We know it's going to be huge. Let's just do it weekly and we'll drag out the engagement longer. Because the more people are talking about Netflix, the more they'll stay. And like, it's worked for HBO Max has done it. Like, HBO is they've been doing weekly for years and it's been great for them because people hated the final season of Game of Thrones, but they were talking about it the entire time it was going. Nobody dropped off.
And I also feel like when you have something like a weekly show that keeps subscribers on, you know, if it's like an 8-episode season or something, then they're on for 2 months. If it's, you know, 12 episodes, they're on for 3. And also when it ends, it's not like you have to every month come out with a new project. You can say, okay, we finished this season of WandaVision. Now we're starting a new season of Falcon Winter Soldier. Okay, that's done. Now we're going to start a new season of this show, you know, and you can keep them engaged the whole time.
If you don't have a consistent slate, that is something to worry about. We're like, oh, they'll stop unsubscribing, even if we drag 3 months out of them for a subscription. For Disney, they now have something for most of the year. And their plan is, basically, to always have a new Marvel or Star Wars thing airing on Disney Plus every single week. So that way you can never unsubscribe.
I love the way you said that. They want to keep you there forever, like a prisoner in your jail cell.
I think they have one Star Wars show. It's the Bad Batch, which is like an animated thing. So that's not going to be as big for them. But so they do have
that sounds like, kind of interesting.
They do have a new Star Wars show coming that's animated. They have season 2 of The Mandalorian will be in 2022 because they're doing Boba Fett at the end of the year. And then they have Loki, Ms. Marvel, and the MCU's first animated show, What If? Those are also set for this year.
Oh my gosh, dude, they are never going to lose people. That is amazing.
And this year is going to be the most inconsistent year they have in terms of output. Next year, 2022 and 2023, it's just that's when they're going to be such a consistent pace, always something new coming out, always something worth watching. And then also, those MCU movies, those will start getting added to the library permanently. So even if they have a week where they don't have anything, that's the week Black Widow is added to the Disney Plus library or whatever. So the theatrical arm will continue churning out hype and blockbusters and lots of box office revenue for them. And then those movies can also serve as fodder for Disney Plus whenever it has a week off or whatever of putting out something new.
Yeah.
I wrote about this. We talked about this before, but I think it needs restating because it's already shown that it's working. Like WandaVision is probably what pushed Disney Plus over the 100 million mark.
Mm.
And I won't be shocked if the next time we have earnings, we will have had Falcon and Winter Soldier plus Loki probably by the next time their earnings come out. So we'll have two more Marvel shows and we'll see what those do to their subscriber numbers.
I kind of think like a good comparison point in terms of like the hype is there are people who are kind of, you know, waiting for and looking forward to their new streaming services, big giant, right? I'm thinking like in terms of HBO Max, a big drop that was recently was the Zack Snyder Justice League cut of the film. But that's going to happen once or twice on HBO Max. But like you're saying, for Disney, it's going to be like a weekly occurrence. We're dropping a big Star Wars thing or a big like Marvel thing. And they might not be the huge splashes that like the Zack Snyder cut are, but they're enough to just keep momentum going for their streaming service.
The only thing HBO Max really has this year is the big premieres they've been doing, which, you know, movie comes out in theaters, it's on HBO Max the same day. They had Wonder Woman, which for what we can tell was a pretty big success for them in terms of new signups. Oh. The next big one is Godzilla versus King Kong, which is the end of this month. Space Jam 2. So like they have all these Dune might not be on HBO Max. They might put Dune as a theatrical exclusive because they want there to be more Dune movies and they don't want to undercut the franchise's potential. I don't care. I will be seeing Dune. I will fly to a different country if it means I can see Dune. I must see this movie.
I don't know where someone's getting this money, but that's very interesting.
James Gunn's Suicide Squad movie is going to be on HBO Max also, so that's exciting. They had these same day premieres coming, and those are those look like they're bringing people in, not at Disney Plus numbers, but they are getting decent numbers from those. And the important thing is people look like they're staying after they come in for a premiere, which is also what you want to see. But HBO Max doesn't have like big originals lined up for a while. They announced that the ad-supported tier is coming, I believe, in June. They don't have a price for it yet. But because of what I found hilarious is because of like 30-year-old agreements made with cable executives when HBO first started, HBO Max is not allowed to air ads on HBO content.
That's great. I'm surprised. In my head, that almost seems like why you get HBO. It's not true because Netflix doesn't have ads and Disney Plus doesn't have ads, presumably. But it just feels like HBO is the place you go to for just the content, just the ooey gooey dramatic content.
But people forget those, like before Deadwood, Sopranos, Oz, before those shows, HBO was where you went to watch full-length movies on TV without ads. So because
that's like unheard of. What?
Yeah, that's why it was called home box office.
That's amazing. That's yeah. So that's, cool.
That's how HBO started, is because you could watch full-length movies on cable without ads.
So was it also doing like other TV shows too, or was it
just movies. It was just movies.
So interesting. Yeah, they've completely shifted.
Then Sopranos was like their first big hit, and then they've now become a movies and originals thing, and now they're a streaming service. But because of those ancient cable agreements, and because the HBO channel is still on cable, anything that the HBO team buys legally cannot have ads on it. That includes both movies and TV shows. So if you were curious why when you're browsing HBO Max, some movies say HBO under them and others don't, that's because those movies are ones the HBO team has went out and bought the first run rights to, or whatever the rights are called. And the rest of the movies are just the ones the regular HBO Max team has gotten. So even some movies on HBO Max, if you're paying for the cheaper tier, won't have ads on them. I wrote this about this in my newsletter. It's called Pixel Dash. You can subscribe to it on Substack. There's the plug. The HBO, they can't... The predicament Warner is in is they can't sell a service called HBO Max that doesn't give you HBO. Because the easy solution you'd think is, oh, well, just charge people an extra $5 or however cheap the service is going to be. If it's $7, for only $7, you get everything but the HBO content. You got to pay $8 if you want to get rid of ads and have the HBO content. Mm-hmm. The problem is the service is called HBO Max. You can't sell something called HBO Max that doesn't give you HBO.
That's the only problem?
It's one of the big problems with that service.
I feel like they should just name it to rock.tm, but they take the O out. You know how people remove vowels from like words and then that'll become the name of a tech company? Just do something like that.
Yeah. Call it Warner Brothers Gold, whatever.
There we go.
Had they called it that, Warner Brothers Gold, and said this is a service called Warner Brothers Gold that includes HBO. Wow. If they had done that, that would give them the headroom to sell a cheaper version of it that doesn't include HBO. But now they're basically being forced to give everyone HBO for cheap.
At gunpoint.
Yeah. They've been forced to give everyone HBO for cheap, and they'll have ads on a lot of their content, but not the most expensive content that people come for. And what I found interesting is this sort of creates an interesting dilemma, because they have this Max Originals team and the regular HBO team. So what if the Max Originals team and the regular HBO team both want to buy the same show from someone, and they're both in a bidding war? Will Warner Brothers step in, or Warner Media, sorry, will Warner Media step in and say, well, if the Max Originals team gets it, then we can put ads on it. So we're going to let them have the show, not you, regular HBO team. They now have that incentive to undercut the regular HBO team.
When is the end of this 30-year deal?
Apparently, it will, as long as HBO stays available as a thing you can buy from Comcast. That's what, yeah.
Well, that's not 30 years then. That's a different...
It's not a 30-year deal. These deals were just made 30 years ago.
I misunderstood. Okay.
This is the agreement cable providers made to sell HBO as an add-on channel.
Just forever.
Yes, forever. Or until Comcast or whatever says, yeah, we're not going to carry HBO anymore.
That's basically so funny.
Yeah. And, like, as far as we can tell, the HBO team, they haven't been interfered with that much. Like, they've been told make more stuff, but, like, they still get to decide what they make. They have a huge budget to buy more content and whatever. But there is now this interesting predicament where if they want the same show as the Max Originals team, it's kind of obvious to me that the Max Originals team is going to wind up getting that show because they can double dip on it. It can go to the premium subscribers and they can put ads on it for people paying for the cheaper tier.
I wonder what that's going to do in terms of the type of content we actually see coming from each team. And does one have more like production experience than the other?
So the HBO team is still like, you know, like HBO was like, if you worked in TV and production and stuff like that, HBO's was like your goal. Like you wanted to wind up at HBO and that's where you would stay. But so I would say I don't know the full makeup of both teams. I'd say they both obviously have veterans running them, but you know, HBO has the best people.
Mm.
Or at least they did for a while. They're still creators first pick. Like if you have a new show to sell, HBO is the place you go to sell first. Mm. They're still very selective. So we haven't seen it happen yet, but you know, in a year, 2 years, maybe that Last of Us TV show they're working on is going to move from HBO original to Max original.
That's going to be so interesting too. I'm trying to think of the last time I saw narratively a video game turned into a TV show. My best guess would be possibly some like property that's gone on to be a show that shows up for like kids in the morning, you know, on like, here's how you spell this or here's how you count. But like the idea of a dramatized video game TV experience,
that's going to be interesting.
I don't know if it's going to be good. I personally don't think a video game movie can work just because a video game is an entirely different medium than a movie, but we'll see.
So generally what I've seen from the Max Originals team is like they have sort of permission to be lower budget. They're not like cheap shows, but they don't quite have the gloss of a prestige HBO show. Like they had this great show a while ago called The Flight Attendant. Loved that show. Had
Kayla Cuoco in it. Oh, I've heard good things about that.
Such a great show. That show definitely, like, that would not be a show you would see on HBO. Maybe you would see it on USA. Maybe you'd see it on, probably not FX. Maybe you would see it on Netflix. Like, you know, high budget show, yeah. Well written. But not like the huge budget. HBO shows are still some of the most expensive TV that's made by anyone. But the Max Originals team still has a gigantic budget because they're the team that they've gone out. They bought a ton of shows from other countries. They bought like children's shows. Like it's kind of crazy what they'll label a Max Original, sort of like a Netflix original, mm-hmm. where HBO is that sticker they put on to say, this is the best we have to offer. I don't know if it'll happen yet, but I just won't be shocked if that happens in a year. We hear about this bidding war between the Max Originals team, the HBO team. Warner sided with the Max Originals team, and someone at HBO decided to step down over it.
Streaming space is turning so... I do believe we're in a better place than we were when we had to do the whole buying cable packages and getting like 500 channels and you don't watch like most of them or something like that. But yeah, it's really chalking up to be this weird balancing act of all these companies' various like little portals to the content they have. And then who has what content? There still isn't a great consistent way of like tracking down that.
Yeah, we're like the Hulu Originals team is sort of like kind of died down. They still have Handmaid's Tale, but it looks like Disney is leaning more towards just, this is going to be a place where we license content and we can put stuff out on FX, but otherwise... Well,
technologically, I mean, that's what it's made for, it sounds like, is just a place for licensed content. It doesn't sound like it was really thought of as a place to place original stuff in the first place.
Yeah, they have a couple of, shows, like a couple of horror movies, but they've started to make their own movies more than their own shows. Like, Happiest Season, that was a movie, Run was a movie... But I haven't seen a ton of, like, shows from Hulu in a while. The most... They have, like, Solar Opposites, which was great. That's getting a new season. But, like, most of the stuff I've seen on Hulu has been movies. They haven't really done a lot... They haven't done a ton of shows. And all the good shows on Hulu are FX originals or FX on Hulu originals, like Devs.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, like FX is basically Disney's trying to make FX the new HBO, which is, I can see that because FX fucking rules.
Should they give it its own like streaming platform, its own app?
They're just putting it in Hulu because they don't want to make people subscribe to another thing. What I am more curious to see is, like, do we see in like 3-4 years Disney gives up on Hulu as a standalone service and just puts it into Disney Plus? Like, they stop licensing stuff, but they put all the Fox movies and the FX stuff into Disney Plus, like they did with Star outside of the US.
Yeah.
And just say, okay, well, we're shutting Hulu down. It'll be a tab on Disney Plus now, and Disney Plus costs $12 a month.
I think tab life is the way to go, man. I like being able to see, like, on the side of HBO, like, see DC stuff and all that stuff.
Yeah, like, we have friends in other countries, and they're like, Star is great. I love it. I watched all these shows on Disney Plus. And also, if you put all the Hulu and the FX stuff into the Disney Plus app, then you can stream FX with 5.1 surround sound.
I was going to say, you immediately also benefit from the fact that the infrastructure of the app actually allows for cool shit like 5.1 and HDR and stuff.
Disney seems happy to charge people for more apps right now, but I just won't be shocked if in 3 years Disney Plus becomes the only service that Disney has.
I think that'd be an interesting direction.
I would honestly prefer it because it's one less thing to open up.
I was going to say, yeah, that removes the amount of apps that you kind of have to sort through and the websites you have to go to, puts it all in one place.
I think they're going to see how Star works, from what I can tell. At least people who have Star love it. I think they're going to see how Star works, and that will determine what they do with Hulu. But yeah, that's our streaming service check-in. Anyway, so yeah, that's it for this episode of the Culture Vacuum Podcast.
Oh man, we're back in business, everybody.
Anyway, stay safe, guys. Get your vaccine.
Yes.
We'll see you next time.
Backs up. Bye-bye.